Second Kings chapter 20. Second Kings chapter 20. Who can tell me what the theme for this year is?
Is there not a cause?
Is there not a cause? And I had a message last week for on prayer that I didn't give, but I've got two more. I've got one this week, one next week, and I didn't know which one to give this week, and I prayed about it, and God laid this one on my heart for today, and I'll be giving the next one next week. But is there not a cause for prayer? You know, if you take and you look at our world today, and you look at the state of people, is there not a cause for prayer? I think you're going to get a lot out of today's message. I know I did. And but in First King or in Second Kings chapter 20, starting at verse number 1, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." I want to stop there for just a minute. How would you like to have me come to your house, walk in, and say, "Get your house in order, you're going to die"? That's just what happened. You know, think about this. Here's the king, and the preacher comes in and he says, "Hey, get your house in order, you're going to die. You're not going to live. You're going to die." Now, I don't know about you, but that would kind of upset me a little bit. You know what I mean? Verse 2, it says, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I'll add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Asia, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of fig, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be a sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. I just pray now that you might take and speak through me to the hearts of the people. Father, we thank you so much that we can come into your presence with our prayers. We just pray now that we might get something out of this that we can use in our own lives. I want to be a help to the people today. And we just pray that you'll guide and direct everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I don't believe there's one of us in this room, including the preacher, that does not take prayer for granted once in a while. You know, how many times do we sit down at a meal and we go rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, you know what I mean? It's a repetition prayer. You know, you sit down and you go, oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for the meal we're about to partake in. Bless it to our bodies. Amen. How many of you have ever done that? I think we all have, haven't we? From time to time. You know, all of a sudden, boom, just like that, a prayer comes to our mind and we just say it. Well, you know, I think many times we, as Christians, take prayer for granted. You know, as I was doing this message, I couldn't help but think about why we pray and why is it important that we pray. Have you ever wondered to yourself, well, why is it that we actually pray? Why do we pray? Is it so God hears our voice or, you know, why is it we pray? You know, as I was thinking about that, something came to my mind. And this is what came to my mind. And that was Jesus. Who was Jesus? He was the Son of God. He was the very Son of God. Have you ever thought about Him praying? You know, just think about this for a minute. Every morning before the sun came up, He went by Himself up into the mountain and prayed. He prayed throughout the day. You remember when He went to Lazarus' tomb? He lifted up His voice to the Lord. He prayed. You know, I don't believe that there's any of us who pray the way we should. You know, as I was looking at this message here a little bit, and I'm going through this and I'm thinking, you know, if Jesus prayed, and He was the very Son of God, why is it we as Christians don't feel it's necessary to lift up our voices and pray? You know, prayer to many of us comes so commonplace that we just do it out of necessity rather than out of a privilege to do it. You know, in the scripture that we just read, we see a king by the name of Hezekiah. He was one of the most godly kings ever to reign in Israel. He was sick. He was dying. Now, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Here's a guy, king of Israel, sick, and he's dying. You know, I believe there's some very important things that we need to look at Hezekiah's life and see why Hezekiah did what he did and what happened after he did it. But first thing is this. Look at what he did in verse 1. Actually, let's go to verse 2. It says, then he turned his face to the wall and what? Prayed. And he prayed. Listen, what we need to realize is this. We need to pray. Amen? We do. You know, here we see the king. He's sick. He's in bed. He's bedridden. He can't get out of bed. And he's going to die. Isaiah was just there and he says, listen, get your house in order, buddy, because you're dead. You're a dead man. Get everything ready to go because you're done. You're dead. There is no hope for you. None. Zero. You are going to die. Bad day for Hezekiah. Amen? I mean, that would be a bad day. After all, you know, now think about Hezekiah for a minute. He's in bed, bedridden, sick, dying. He can't go to church to pray. He can't go to the priest to pray. He can't go anywhere other than being in his bed to pray. Wow. You know, as I was doing this, I thought, wait a minute. You mean he didn't go to church to pray? He didn't go and get down at the altar and pour out his soul before God and say, oh, Lord, please don't let me die. You know what I mean? I think a lot of us would do that. I know I would. You know, don't let us die. You know, we've got so much to live for. You know, but he turned his head towards the wall and he prayed. You know, it doesn't matter where we are when we pray. Did you know that? You know, if we're at work, we should pray. If we're at school, we should pray. If we are away from our home, we should pray. If we're with our friends, we should pray. If we're driving, we should pray. If we're watching our children, we should pray. You know, last night it was really kind of interesting. We were at the banquet, and there's these guys that walked in, and they all had suits and ties on. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, hey, this is cool. You know, look at these people with suits and ties on. Not one of them spoke English. They were all speaking Spanish or French or something. Anyway, come to find out here, they were having some kind of a, I don't know, meeting somewhere. And anyway, but it was funny because my wife and I, we sat down, and Chris and Justine were there, and we all bowed our head and prayed. And we got all done praying, and I looked up, and here's these three tables that were around us, all sitting there looking at us. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, now it's your turn. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead. This guy walked up to me, and he shook my hand, and he says, I want to thank you. I said, for what? He says, for praying. I said, well, don't you pray all the time? He goes, yeah. But he says, very seldom do you go into a restaurant and see people bowing their heads praying. He says, I want to thank you for being faithful. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? What a testimony that is. You know? So I gave him my card, and he goes, oh, you're a pastor. Well, you know, we pray all the time. We do. Doesn't make any difference where we are, what restaurant we're in, what we're having to eat. You know, I go to McDonald's and I pray. People look at me kind of funny, but then I don't really care. But you know, we are to pray all the time. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Pray all the time, right? You know, me being a pastor, do you know that I have a direct link with God through the internet? Did you know that? I have high-speed internet connection with God. I really do. Honest. That's what I feel people think about me. You have no idea how many times the telephone rang during the day. Oh, Pastor, can you pray for so-and-so? I said, well, did you? It gets quiet on the other end of the phone. I said, well, did you pray for him? Well, no, that's what I'm calling you for. Well, I don't have any better connections with God than what you do. Pray! You know, it's mind-boggling to me sometimes to think that, you know, we are to pray without ceasing. We're to pray all the time. In 1 Timothy 2:8 it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Listen, we don't pray because we don't feel that God's going to answer what we're praying about. If you pray thinking God's going to answer your prayer, I guarantee He's going to answer it. You may not like the answer, but He's going to answer it. Guarantee it. And you know, I think that's another reason why people don't pray, because they don't want to know what the answer is going to be. Amen? You know, let's face it. Here we see King Hezekiah. He knew he could pray anywhere he was. You know, he didn't have to go to church. He didn't have to go to some prayer booth. He didn't have to take and confess it to a priest or whatever. He turned his head towards the wall and he started to pray. Why did he do that? Because he had done it before. Hezekiah knew that if he would turn his face towards that wall, that God would hear him. Because he had done it before. You know, there's an awful lot of people today that don't pray because, number one, they don't think they know how to pray, and number two, they don't think it's worth the effort because God isn't going to answer it anyway. You know, it sounds like kind of a pressing issue. Here's the king of Israel turning his face towards the wall and praying. You know, he's all alone. Isaiah's already left. And he's all by himself with God. Man, that's a sweet time, isn't it? When you're all by yourself with God. You know, many times we have so many pressing issues that come in. We're so busy that we don't feel that we have time to pray. But yet we're such a foolish people thinking that the only time we need to pray is when we need something from God. Oh, God, please help me pay this bill. The bill collector's on my doorstep. You know what I mean? But you know, there was something else that Hezekiah did. Let's look at verse 3. It says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. I want you to look at the last four words there. And Hezekiah wept sore. Four words. Four words. Hezekiah wept sore. You know, as I was looking at this, I thought to myself, well, what does the word sore mean? Does it mean that he was hurting? Or what does sore mean? After all, he had a big boil on him. I'm sure it hurt. But that isn't what that's talking about. The word in the Hebrew here means to weep uncontrollably or from one's inner soul. Have you ever had to take and pray and you didn't really know what to do, but you just prayed anyway? Well, that's what Hezekiah is doing. I mean, he is weeping, crying like a little baby because he had nowhere else to turn but to God. He's facing death now. He's crying like a little baby. But you know what? It's okay to cry. Did you know that? How many of you ever heard the big boys don't cry? You know what? My brothers just ground that into my mind when I was growing up. Do you know why? Because they were 8 and 10 years older than I was, and they would beat the living tar out of me, and then I'd start bawling, and they go, what's the matter with you? Don't you know big boys don't cry? Don't you want to be a big boy? That's what they used to say. Because they knew that if I cried and my mom heard it, they were in big trouble. But you know what? Big boys should cry. Big boys should cry. Here we see the king of Israel. I mean, this guy, he has all the power that he'd ever want. But it's okay to shed tears when things aren't going the way that we think they should. It's all right to cry and let God know that we're not happy with what's happening. In Psalms 39:12 it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at that my tears, for I'm a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Psalms 126:5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Listen, there are times when we just need to take and shed a tear before God. There are times when we need to just take and pour our hearts out to God and say, listen, God, I know you have everything under control, but I'm coming to you in tears because I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn. Listen, we need to show God our concern for the things that are happening, and we need to show Him how much we need from Him. We need to show Him our sincerity to the things that are important in our lives. We need to shed tears for those that are lost. When was the last time you prayed for somebody that you know is lost and going to hell? We need to take and shed tears for our children, for our co-workers who aren't saved, for those who are sick. for the upcoming events in the church, for our missionaries, for a preacher and his wife. And we need to shed tears for our church. There's a lot of things that go on in this church all the time. We need to pray earnestly that God would take and make sure everything works the way they should. You know, many times I believe that God does not answer our prayers because we don't show sincerity about them. We don't show God exactly how much those prayers mean to us. You know, I can remember times in my life when I have had things happen, and I didn't know how to pray, but yet the Holy Spirit prayed for me. So here we see that Hezekiah turned his head, he prayed, and he wept to the Lord, showing just how much he wanted God to answer that prayer. But you know, the nice thing about God, look at verses 4 and 5. It says, "And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord." Wow. Think about this for a minute. How far was it from Hezekiah's bedchamber to the inner court of the palace? About a 5-minute walk. Now, think about this for just a second. And as I was doing this, I thought, wow. You know, God really answers prayer pretty fast. Think about it. Here's Isaiah. Isaiah had just been in with Hezekiah. He said, "Get your life in order, boy, because you're going to die." Hezekiah turned himself to the wall. Isaiah left. He went out into the inner court. He went to the middle court. About a 5-minute walk. As he entered the middle court, all of a sudden God says, "Hey, Isaiah, I want you to go back and talk to Hezekiah. I want you to go back and talk to him." Well, what am I supposed to tell him? You just told me to tell him he's going to die. What am I supposed to tell him? Tell him that I heard his prayer and I saw his tears. I saw his sincerity of what he wanted. I want you to go back. And I'm going to tell you what to tell him. Think about that. Now, here's Hezekiah. He's on his deathbed, turns himself to the wall. It wasn't a very long prayer. Just a few words. "Remember me, Lord. Remember what I did for you." And before Isaiah could get to the middle court, 5 minutes, God had not only heard the prayer, but he had answered the prayer. I mean, to me, that's just mind-boggling. You know, think about that. 5 minutes. And not only did he go from dying to living, but God heard his prayer. And he answered it. You know, I believe so many times we don't have our prayers answered because we don't feel that God is going to take and answer them. We don't believe that God is a God that can take and answer all prayer. I don't believe that many times we feel that God is even listening to what we have to say. Have you ever prayed and you didn't think of God above the ceiling? I have. Why? Because we're not earnest enough with our prayer life? You know, how many times do we go without because we don't feel it's worth taking a request to God? How many times do we do things, or good or bad, and we never see the actual solution to them because we don't trust God to do it? You know, within 5 minutes after Hezekiah prayed, God answered his prayer. You know, God told Isaiah tell him I heard his prayer and saw his tears. How did God see his tears? God's in heaven. And yet, he still saw Hezekiah's tears. Wow. You know, if we don't feel that shedding tears are going to help us, try it sometime. You know, there's been a number of times in my life when I've had to shed tears. 1980 was one of them. Our little girl, our third daughter, had got a staph infection and she was dying. And for 8 days, I prayed. 8 days, I shed tears for her. 4 years later, our oldest daughter, Dionne, had a bad diabetic reaction, and we had a flyer from Green Bay to Madison. She had a 5% chance of making it. And I can remember on my knees, praying, crying, that God would somehow spare them. You know, there's many times through our lives when we pray and we shed tears. And I believe that God sees those tears before he hears our words. I believe he sees the tears that we shed before he hears our actual words. You know, many times we need to shed tears to get the attention of God. You know, you look at Jesus. What's the longest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Did he have to cry? Did he have to shed tears? No. He did it to show compassion on Martha and Mary. Listen, what we need to realize is that God looks for our tears. He wants to see what our inner soul is like. How bad we want him to answer our prayers. Here we see that Hezekiah prayed. He wept. God heard. Verse number 6, it says this. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Asia, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Not only did he hear the prayers, but he answered Hezekiah's prayer. You know, one of the things that was really working on Hezekiah right now is, number one, he's sick in bed, can't get out, can't do anything, and the king of Asia is coming down upon them to fight. And he can't go to war. It's really bothering him. So just think of the king in a bedridden state. Cannot get out of bed. Can't go to fight. Can't rally the troops. And then he's told he's going to die. He was between a rock and a hard place. But yet, God answered his prayer. Not only did God hear his prayer and see his tears, but God, being a merciful God, answered his request. He told him he would give him an additional 15 years. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? God come walking in and say, Brother Holcomb, I'm going to give you another 15 years. Amen? Yeah. You know, he told him that he would give him an additional 15 years to live. Not only would he do that, but he was also going to help defeat the Asians. I mean, they were going to be doomed.
Assyrians.
They were, huh?
Assyrians.
Assyrians, I'm sorry, Assyrians. Asians. It's close. It's got the A in it. But here we see that it would have been a certain doom if God wouldn't have answered his prayer. You know, many times God will give us things which we don't deserve to have. Everybody notice that? Despite ourselves, God still gives us things that we don't deserve to have. You know, God has promised to supply our every need according to his riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. However, many times he will give us things that we want too. You know, I don't know how many riches God has in heaven, but I don't think I'm going to spend them all. Amen? You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the gold in every mine. He owns all the silver. You know, I don't believe that I am going to be able to spend what God has. I really don't. But you know, Hezekiah prayed. He wept. God heard him. God answered him. The last part of this is what I find very, very interesting. Look at verses 9 through 11. And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "Is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees? Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And as Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by it had gone down in the dial of Aias." Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been happy just to see it go forward 10 degrees. You know what I mean? After all, that would have been a sign from God, wouldn't it have? But not Hezekiah. Now, the man is unbelievable. Here he is. He's on his deathbed, all right? He's already been told that he's going to die. And then he says, "Okay, God, just one more little thing, would you? Would you mind putting the shadow backwards 10 degrees? Now, what would have to happen for that to happen? Did you notice how I got that word in there, happen? But what would have had to happen? Yeah, but what would have had to happen? The whole universe had to come to a stop. After all, the moon rotates around the earth, doesn't it? The earth rotates around the sun. The planets rotate around the sun. Now, think about this for just a moment. Everything has to stop. Reverse, 10 degrees. And then start up again. Now, have you ever taken water in a bowl and swirled it around? Have you ever done that? And watch it go around and around and around and around and around? Have you ever tried to stop it? It doesn't work. It wants to keep going. Now, think about this for a minute. Here you've got the earth rotating and it's traveling around the sun. All of a sudden, God says, "Okay, stop." What would happen to the water in the oceans? Huge tsunami. Now, think about that for just a minute. You know, people, I don't think, understand what had to take place here. All of a sudden, God stopped everything, and then he rotated it backwards 10 degrees, and then he started back up again. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot of swishing around with water. Huh? Did he? I don't know. It may have had a catastrophic flood. I have no idea. But, I mean, just think about that, how all of that had to come into being right now. I mean, to me, I'm thinking to myself, okay, the earth is traveling at this speed around the sun. All of a sudden, it stops. And it goes in reverse. And now it's going back the other way again. Now, think of the stars. After all, the constellations, all 12 of them are in the sky. All 12 of them had to reverse 10 degrees and then start back up again. You know, this whole thing, I mean, it's no wonder people don't believe the Bible. But God, with his infinite power, just said, "Okay, stop. Reverse. Go forward. And all right back to where it was." You know, my mind cannot grasp all of this. It just can't. But God can. And he did. You know, just think, Hezekiah says, let's see how big God is. Let's see if God can really do this. Let's see if God can really stop this earth, have it come back 10 degrees, and then go forward again. He did. He did. You know, my little pea brain just can't grasp God. And why God wants me to pray to him is beyond me. After all, what am I to God? But you know, only an all-powerful God could stop the rotation of the whole universe, back it up, and then start it all over again. You know, this was no little task to be done, yet God could do it. If God could have the sun go back 10 degrees, do you think maybe he could take and heal Hezekiah? You know, what a wonderful thought. You know, we sing a song in Sunday school, "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." And you know, if you take and you think about that, our God is so big that there's nothing that he cannot do. To see God's mighty hand work and to see the miracle happen of not only Hezekiah being made well, but of the miracle of the earth rotating backwards 10 degrees. Is beyond our every imagination. But you know, as I was going through this, why was it God allowed that to happen? Why was it God allowed that to happen? Because he heard Hezekiah's prayer and he saw his tears. Is there not a cause? Oh, you bet there's a cause. Each and every one of us need to be on our knees daily, begging God with tears for the things that we need as a country, for the things we need as a church. The other day I was in my office and I was praying. I had received a letter from one of our missionaries and for some reason I just needed to pray for him. I just did. I started praying. And no more than got done, and I opened up one of my emails, and here it was from him. And he says, "Dear Brother Storm," and he told me what had went on. And I emailed him back, and I said, "I don't know why, but God had me pray for you this morning." He said, "Well, now you know why." You know, many times we pray, and we don't even know why we're praying, but God knows. God knows why we're praying, why we're pouring our hearts out to him. You know, what about you today? Where's your prayer life? Is your prayer life where it should be? Or are you just going through a routine of praying because you pray? Are you like so many other people that maybe don't have a prayer life at all? You say, "Well, I pray to God whenever it comes convenient." Is there not a cause? We need prayer more now than any other time in history. We need to get on our knees and we need to shed tears so God can see how sincere we are about what we want and what we need. You know, I really believe that if all of us would pray like Hezekiah did, turn our face towards the wall once in a while and start shedding some tears, God would do a marvelous, marvelous thing in our lives. We would see things happen that we'd never seen before. We'd be able to do things that we'd probably never been able to do before. But we need to have a good prayer life. If we have a good prayer life, I guarantee that God's going to see us through. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today.